You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Taking Uber to the S&P 500. I'm David Brancaccio. First, we're just getting word that U.S. Steel is being bought by Nippon Steel of Japan in a deal worth nearly $15 billion. USX, based in Pittsburgh, was formed in 1901 in part through a merger involving Andrew Carnegie's steel company. In the U.S., only Nucor Steel is bigger. And this morning we have global shipping and several recent missile attacks on cargo ships in the Red Sea. The attacks have come amid the rising tensions in the region given the Israel-Hamas war. Several shippers are now steering clear of this key trade route. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with us with more.
Yeah, David, at least two major shipping firms are avoiding this narrow waterway. It's called the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. It's along the route to the Suez Canal, which connects the Middle East and Asia with the West. A lot of stuff is transported through here. The problem is that Yemen's Houthi rebels are firing missiles and armed drones at container ships along the route, they say, in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza.
All right. So what's the alternative if you don't go through this important strait?
Well, the alternative is a much longer route. Here's Marco Forgione to explain it. He's with the industry group called the Institute of Export and International Trade.
If the ships don't go through the straits, can't use Suez, the alternative is to divert south to go round the Cape of Good Hope, which adds over 3,500 nautical miles and a delay of up to 2 weeks. All of that then cascades into further delays because ships are in the wrong place, containers are in the wrong place, ports get congested.
For now, the impact is somewhat minimal because a lot of ships are still going through this waterway, David. The problem is that they may not be able to be protected against these missiles and drones.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. Now to U.S. shoppers, surprising analysts with all their shopping. Average hourly pay has gone up 4% over the last year at a time when prices went up just over 3%. That means people do have more after-inflation money to spend, but that doesn't add up to financial security. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Last year, as prices rose, so did wages, especially for low-income workers. Leisure and hospitality pay shot up by double digits. But no longer, says Tulane economist Gary Hoover.
At the bottom, we're absolutely seeing those gains are stalling out.
And that's squeezing many families' finances, says Robert Frick at Navy Federal Credit Union.
Our lower-income members are really struggling, and the main reason for that is the rate of inflation has come down, but the weight of inflation keeps going up.
That weight is the cumulative effect of 2 years of sharp price hikes for food, transportation, rent, costs which he says
make up a huge percentage of lower-income people's budgets.
And adjusting to higher prices is hard, says Gary Hoover.
Some folks are hoping that prices are going to start falling to return to where they were before.
But once prices go up, they rarely come down again. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Not to bring up memories of bad holiday travel past, but many will remember Southwest Airlines a year ago. Systems haywire, planes and crews out of sync, 16,900 cancellations, 2 million passengers stranded. Them were days. Now there's news Southwest has agreed to pay a record penalty, $140 million, $35 million to the feds and $90 million in travel vouchers over 3 years to passengers delayed at least 3 hours during that mess. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. It is a little like winning an Oscar when the committee decides your company is good enough to be one of the stocks in the S&P 500 index. This morning, Uber, the ride and delivery service, enters the S&P 500, a milestone for the 14-year-old company, which announced its first profitable quarter this year. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
Uber has grown a lot over the last few years, says Dan Ives, an analyst at Wedbush Securities.
This has been a massive success story coming out of the pandemic.
That's because the company's ride-sharing business has benefited as people started traveling again and going back to the office. Meanwhile, its food delivery business, which took off during the pandemic, has stayed strong.
And I think it just shows many consumers have now just gotten used to food delivery. And we've seen that for Uber, DoorDash, and others.
Not all of Uber's other ventures have been as successful. For instance, Uber also runs a freight business, and the trucking sector in general has been struggling over the last few years. Ali Mogarabi, senior equity analyst at Morningstar Research.
It's just the overall economic environment that has basically reduced the amount of freight that's coming in and that needs to be transported.
There's also the issue of whether Uber's drivers should be considered independent contractors or actual employees. Mogarabi says ride-sharing companies have struck a lot of deals with governments to keep classifying drivers as contractors while upping their benefits.
In terms of some different types of protection, funding for healthcare, for example, maybe higher pay.
Uber has also been taking steps to earn more money, says Evan Raleigh, a professor at the University of Connecticut.
They cut off ATG, the driverless car business that was losing a lot of money. They're increasing fares to consumers, and they found economies of scale with their global business.
All of that has helped the company turn a profit this year, and that makes it eligible for S&P 500 membership and more investment, since a lot of mutual funds and exchange-traded funds simply buy shares of whatever's in the index.
Now, passive funds, mutual funds, and ETFs have to own shares of Uber.
Raleigh says S&P 500 membership is a reflection of how far Uber's come over the last 14 years. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Markets this morning, Dow and S&P futures are both up 0.1%. NASDAQ futures are quite flat. The team that works on the half hour of Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl later today will be looking at this breaking news that U.S. Steel has agreed to get Japanese ownership as we plan our coverage for later today. That program is on many public radio stations or streamable from marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. We are from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.